Some of you listening in may know that here in Fort Collins, we recently had quite a significant snowfall. And being a homeowner, with snowfall comes the joy of responsibility of clearing the driveway and the sidewalks of your residence. And I am fortunate enough to have a corner lot. And on Tuesday morning, when we had this big snowfall, I woke up in the morning to just a little bit more than a foot of snow at 6 a.m. And I did plan to work that day, so I was determined to get everything finished up before I had to go and get back to work doing my regular job. So immediately I got busy shoveling while it was still dark out. And normally I can clear the whole driveway and the sidewalks in about half an hour if I'm really moving. This time was a little bit different, however, with the snow being as deep as it was, and since it had started the night before, all of the snow that was closest to the pavement had compressed, and it was very heavy, dense, a little wet. So instead of pushing the shovel to clear a few feet before I threw the shovel full of snow into the yard, I needed to lift and throw each single shovelful one at a time, and then clear it again because all the snow that had fallen off of the shovel needed to be cleared off the pavement. You kind of get the idea. Those who have shoveled, those in the audience here, know what it was like. And that itself would have been fine if I had to do just that much. It's slow going, but not too hard. But the snow also really likes to stick to the shovel. So, and that made double work of the work that was already doubled. That heavy shovel coming back and dumping the snow back onto the pavement. It was a lot of work is the whole point. And I think I'm making that pretty clear. So I had worked for about an hour and a half straight, getting slower and slower as I went, taking more breaks between fewer and fewer shovels full. But by the time I had reached the last stretch of what I needed to shovel for that morning, that last stretch of sidewalk, I could barely keep my torso upright. I was quite literally hunched over almost in half. I could barely move. I was just leaning over, just weary. I was finally done. However, by the time I got to that last stretch, or at least I thought I was done, by the time I got back to the place where I had started, I found another inch and a half of snow still lying on the ground, which had fallen since I had started. So then I did a second round of clearing snow as fast as I could and hurried inside before the snow from the sky could evince its will to defeat me. I was done. Now, I don't often consider buying household implements that only get use once in a year, but I had serious envy for those people on my block who had snowblowers that morning, at least the gas-powered ones, the ones that are powered by batteries don't really do that good of a job, if you're taking notes really closely at this point in the sermonette. So anyway, even those people who had snowblowers looked like they were working hard. I can only imagine what I look like. I'm sure people were pointing and laughing at me as I was in my weary state. But then after I was done, I came in, had my breakfast, and got started working at my day job, barely taking time to catch my breath. And of course, put in a regular day, which actually turned out to be a regularly long, demanding day at work. Now, this is an example of a day in my life that was just physically demanding. That was really it. But we all have days that are spiritually demanding as well. Maybe those don't make for as good of a story as an intro, but I think we all relate to that type of demand in our lives. Some of the most wearying work that we have in our lives comes when we have a test to our patience or a test of our ability to turn away from sin and come out of the world that we live in. Being Christians, it takes a great deal of effort to stand up for the truth and to live God's way in this world. It just does. We find judgment, exclusion, and more types of severe problems in the world, tribulation, persecution. However it takes its shape, we know that it can be a challenge to really live as a Christian. We've all had to make sacrifices in our lives to do this, to live this lifestyle. Jesus Christ reminds us that we will have tribulation. That is very clear and something that we can expect. It's not something that we look forward to, but it is something that we get into willingly. It's part of the job description. It takes a lot of work. It can be exhausting. But we have a promise from God that gives us some reassurance, and that is that He will give us rest. Let's go to Matthew 11, verses, and read verses 27 through 30, where we can read Jesus Christ's words on this matter. Matthew 11, beginning in verse 27. All things have been delivered to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, nor does anyone know the Father except the Son, and the one whom the Son wills to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. This passage follows a passage just above where the impertinent cities are mentioned, where Jesus Christ had visited and done great, mighty works in those cities without any response. People refused to listen to him. And this is the message that he is, at least as the Bible has it laid out, this is the message that comes after having that experience. If those people only knew that they would be able to find relief and rest by following Christ, instead of more work, they would have been relieved of their burdens. If they only knew what they were really being offered and had taken advantage of it. Their hard work would have some spiritual fruit. But now, if we don't listen to Jesus Christ, our hard work, our burdens, will not bear spiritual fruit. In addition, we can see that we will find rest if we are able to listen to Jesus Christ and follow his way of life. We know that this way of life is not an easy one. So why does Jesus Christ say that he will give us rest? What does that really mean? Well, if you think about it, when we live God's way of life, we know exactly what he expects of us. It's all right here in our Bible. It's all very fair. It all makes perfect sense. It's all very reasonable. God has very reasonable commandments for us to follow, and he does it for our own benefit. And that's something that we as human beings need to recognize. When we follow God's way of life, it may seem like work from a worldly perspective, but in actual truth, it is a relief to live this way. We get the fruit of love for one another, love from God, and we get his blessings as well. The burden truly is light when we live by God's instructions. Let's go over to Hebrews 4 and read Paul's words on this promise of rest. Hebrews 4, and I'll begin in verse 1. Therefore, since a promise remains of entering his rest, let us fear lest any of you seem to have come short of it. For indeed the gospel was preached to us as well as to them, But the word which they heard did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in those who heard it. For we who have believed do enter that rest. As he has said, so I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has spoken in a certain place of the seventh day in this way, and God rested on the seventh day from all his works, and again in this place, they shall not enter my rest. Since therefore it remains that some must enter it, and those to whom it was first preached did not enter because of disobedience, again he designates a certain day, saying in David, today, after such a long time as it has been said, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, then he would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains, therefore, a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works, as God did from his. And one more scripture here. And let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Paul gives quite a discourse on ancient Israel, but also the people of his time. But it's also a message for us. He discusses how Israel had received a promise of God to enter a rest. They had been wandering for 40 years. They were certainly looking to put down some roots after wandering in the wilderness for that long. And as we know from that story of Joshua, very few people were able to enter that rest. In fact, only two adults were able to do so. You can bet they were weary. They were looking forward to that rest. But why did they not enter that rest? That physical rest at that point in time, getting into their land? Because they, as we see here, were disobedient. They were not obedient to God. They were not willing to give their hearts over to him. If they had, as Joshua and Caleb had, they would have entered their rest. We have an opportunity to enter God's rest when we are obedient. That's something that we need to be aware of. He offers us several types of rest as well. We get that peace of mind when we give our burdens over to God. That gives us rest. We have this Sabbath day that gives us rest as well. The world doesn't offer that. The world will be demanding of our time and efforts, but God demands something else. He commands us to rest on this day for our benefit. There's an even greater rest waiting for us as well. Going over to Galatians 6, we'll read verses 7 through 9. Galatians 6 and verse 7. Do not be deceived, God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his flesh will of the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will of the Spirit reap everlasting life. And let us not grow weary while doing good, for in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us let us do good to all, especially to those who are of the household of faith. We constantly face choices in the way of life that we live. Some people have given up on this way of life that Jesus Christ commands, believing that the world offers an easier, more attractive, more fruitful, enjoyable way of life. How wrong that is. Those who have stuck with God know that we have so many blessings that just come naturally of living this way in life. Those people who leave God simply don't know what they're really giving up. We cannot let ourselves fall into that same deception. There's a benefit to continuing to do good that we cannot forget. We cannot become weary and say, this is too much for me. We have to continue, because it does give us rest if we are obedient. We have the rest right now, knowing that we get support from God and helping us through our struggles on this weekly Sabbath as well. But brethren, we also look forward to that eternal rest from this resistance and difficulty that we face when we live in this world. We have a great opportunity out there in front waiting for us. All we need to do is not give up and continue in this way in life.